Following a preseason opening victory over the Cleveland Browns, it's been revealed that Jeff Janis has a broken hand. How will this impact the Green Bay Packers wide receiver? We'll ask Marissa Silvis of NBC 26 in Green Bay. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about Jeff Janis and the first preseason game. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone today.
Expert interview.
We have Marissa Silvis, a sports reporter for NBC 26 in Green Bay. Ms. Silvis, how are you this morning?
Hey, Brian, I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Very good. We're glad you could join us on the show. And Marissa, tell me the first preseason game. I live in the Madison market. Were you in the studio? Were you at Lambeau Field? What was your vantage point for the game on Friday?
Sure. I was actually in studio. I had the opportunity to go to Canton last week. So since I was part of all those festivities, I let the other guys go out to the game on Friday. So I was holding down the fort in studio.
Well, how was Canton? What was that experience like?
Oh, my goodness. Honestly, it definitely was something that I know I will always remember. It was crazy busy, lots of work, but just to be there for all the festivities, to actually have the opportunity to cover Favre, you know, unfortunately, I didn't have the chance during his playing days, but just to get a little taste of what that was like was so fantastic. And then obviously the cancellation of the Hall of Fame game certainly made for quite an unusual storyline on Sunday as well. So it was definitely an interesting trip. But like I said, something that I'm so happy that I was there for.
That's good to hear. Let's talk about some current Packers news, kind of breaking over the past 24 hours or so. Reports indicate that wide receiver Jeff Janis has a broken hand. Marissa, how much do you think this will impact his chances of coming back and making the roster?
You know, this really is so tough because this is supposed to be such a critical preseason for Janis. And, you know, yesterday at practice, we saw him in a soft cast. Coach McCarthy said he will not be practicing this week, and there's not really a timeline on his return. But from what we're hearing, it sounds like about 4 to 6 weeks. So, you know, it's just he already had a slow start to camp and didn't really take advantage of the extra reps that he was getting, having both Jordy and Ty out. You know, and Janis has told us on multiple occasions, he knows he has to take those opportunities when he can. And now he's just not really going to get that chance thanks to the injury. But luckily for him, helping his cause, he certainly had already carved out a role on special teams. And Ron Zook's a big fan. He said he was counting on Janis to be one of his core players this year. You know, he was dominant as a gunner on the punt coverage team. Also really effective on kick coverage last year. So, you know, certainly people were thinking he had a chance to make the team just based on that. Janis also a huge fan favorite. Everybody loves him. You know, it's really, you know, interesting to see so many people talking about him. So I don't know. You know, we'll just have to wait and see. I'm guessing that the Packers will probably wait, you know, to make a decision on him until, you know, the final cut down to 53.
Unfortunate injury for him, but best wishes in his recovery, and hopefully he comes back sooner rather than later. Speaking of wide receivers, Marissa, Jared Aberderis, he got a lot of playing time in the first preseason game, both at receiver and as a return man on kicks and punts. How much does that versatility help him?
Oh, it's huge. You know, he definitely had a busy day, so that certainly suggests that the coaches are taking a really long look at him. And it's nice to see, you know, his first time that he's actually very healthy in camp. You know, everyone is you know, has really been concentrating on Roger's connection with Janice. But, you know, during that time, Arbidaris has certainly emerged. And Rogers has said he has good trust in him. We all know how very important that is. He's also gotten a lot of praise from Zook. You know, he said he called him a heck of a returner yesterday. He said he has great instincts and can catch the ball. You know, Friday he had a couple catches for 23 yards. He's also targeted four times, both in the slot and on the outside. And he had two punt returns and three kickoff returns. So I think certainly his chances of making the roster have improved with that performance, plus now with this news about Janice. You know, and it was also fun to see the reaction from the Wisconsin fans. You know, people certainly rooting on Abby as well. And his beard is pretty strong this training camp. You got to love the beard, right?
Yes, yes. Good to see good things from the hometown kid, or the home state kid, I guess. The tight ends, though, on Friday seemed to steal the show in the first preseason game. Marissa, what were your impressions of players like Jared Cook and Justin Perillo and Kennard Backman, who all played really well?
They really did. You know, it's no secret that the Packers were very focused on retooling their tight ends this offseason, and Friday was certainly, you know, a definite statement of where things are headed with them. McCarthy said on multiple occasions he likes big guys. He likes those big targets, and Cook is certainly that. Just seeing him in person is very impressive. He's a huge target. You know, and one thing I love about Cook too is just that it seems like he's so thrilled to be here. He told us last week that being here in Green Bay is like playing in college again, which I thought was so cute. You know, he loves the atmosphere. He loves the fans. You know, we didn't get the chance to see him show off his big playability, but it was really nice to see him in action. And then as far as Justin Perillo, what a game. He had five catches for 52 yards. Showed that he can be a good midfield threat, you know, certainly is making a strong case for the number three tight end spot for himself. And he looked really good. He looked sure-handed, you know, and then Backman was able to show off his speed. So I think that all in all, you know, certainly everybody is talking about the tight end's performance. And like I said, it's going to be really interesting. It seems like they're going to be used quite a bit more going into the season.
Sounds good to me. From tight ends to running backs, Eddie Lacy was impressive in limited action in the first preseason game. Do you think we're seeing a new Eddie Lacy this season?
Oh, goodness. You know, well, he certainly passed the first test on Friday. So everyone's calling him new and improved. He called himself more explosive yesterday. He said that, you know, he felt so much better, but he's also quick to say that there's always room for improvement. But yeah, Friday was, you know, was great seeing him, you know, the first four straight plays of the game going straight to Lacy. He averaged 6 yards a carry, you know, his best carry, you know, nice rumble for 11 yards on a third and one. And, you know, Edgar Bennett said that he was impressed with Lacy's ability to break tackles. You know, it's clear Lacy wants to be physical. He's not afraid of contact. And it's been interesting just to see how he would respond after getting criticized and after having a tough season. And, you know, it's clear that he really doesn't like the extra attention. He gets kind of annoyed, certainly, with everybody still talking about his weight and all of that stuff. But he's definitely more slim, you know, and looks good. And I think certainly for the Packers to be successful, they need to have both a strong pass game and the run game. So it was nice to see.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're talking to Marissa Silvas of NBC 26 in Green Bay here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Marissa, do you think the Packers made the correct choice withholding Aaron Rodgers from the first preseason game?
Well, obviously they're trying to protect him. You know, and Rodgers is in great shape this training camp. You know, Coach McCarthy said he's in the best shape he thinks he's ever seen him in. You know, but you know, he certainly needs to get some reps at some point and start developing, you know, even more trust and chemistry with whichever wide receivers he's going to have and with Cook being new. So, you know, we will see. You know, the Packers have been cutting back Rodgers' preseason work the past few years. And last year, I believe he played in the first two games. The year before that, he played in the middle two. So, you know, it's, in Rodgers, when you ask him, he says he feels like he's ready for the season opener now. But everyone's thinking, hopefully we get to see him this week against Oakland. But as of yesterday, his preseason debut still might not come this week because he was out leading the scout team at practice just like he was last week. So we'll see if we get to see him in action this week. But he has participated in every training camp practice this year except for just one day of rest. So he's ready to go, but I know, you know, fans and media and everybody else would like to see a little bit of action just to get going for the season, certainly.
Yeah, we'll see. We may have to wait till the third preseason game. We'll see how things play out. All this being said, what do you think of the rookie quarterbacks, Joe Callahan and Marquise Williams, and how they did in their debuts?
You know what? It was such a great opportunity for both of them. And, for Callahan, it was really cute after the game hearing him say, that playing at Lambeau and that opportunity was just a little bit bigger than what he's used to coming from Wesley, a D3 school. But it sounded like everyone was really pleased. You know, McCarthy was happy with how he managed the game, especially the 2-minute drill that was talked about quite a bit. You know, went 12 plays and 80 yards, for the touchdown, which is great. And he played it safe. There weren't a lot of big plays, but he was really efficient. He was 16 for 23, 124 yards with the touchdown at a 97 QB rating. And definitely relied a lot on his tight ends, but was totally solid statistically. And for Williams, he didn't do as well as Callahan, but we were able to see flashes of his nice scrambling ability. He used his legs a lot to make plays. And his best drive did reach the end zone, but was intercepted at the 1-yard line. So it was certainly a fantastic opportunity for both of those guys to get good looks and a chance to show what they're made of, which is nice.
I've asked a lot about the offense, but who stood out to you on Friday night on the defensive side of the football?
Oh, sure. Well, I think a lot of the young guys impressed. One guy that I'm really excited about this season is Dayton Jones. I really feel like he's ready for a breakout year. He moved to his more natural position at outside linebacker now and had a sack against the Browns. Really looked good penetrating the backfield and also pressuring the quarterback. So I think a lot of people are excited about Dayton. And then also it's fun to see a lot of the rookies, including Blake Martinez. He made some mistakes, missed a tackle early in the first quarter, but he bounced right back and showed his good pass rushing ability too. And he's, certainly focused on winning a starting job if he can at inside linebacker. So I think those were a couple guys on defense that I was most excited about.
Sounds good to me. One last question before we let you go then, Marissa. How impressive was Mason Crosby kicking 2 54-yard field goals?
Crosby, certainly in midseason form. He's really had an excellent camp. I think going into Friday, he'd only missed, 3 kicks total. And of course, he's fresh off of a 4-year, $16 million contract. I really think that his rough 2012 season seems to be ancient history. And sometimes kickers need a game or two to knock off the rust, but it looks like Crosby really never had any rust to begin with. And he's a Texas guy. I'm from Texas originally, so I'm a big fan. And it was really nice to see those huge booming kicks to get things started.
So hook 'em horns, is that your thing?
I went to Santa Clara University, but yeah, okay. lots of friends that went to UT. So yeah, Mason, I think lives in Georgetown, which was right next to where I was born. So. Got to be a big fan.
Sounds good. Marissa, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us this morning. Love getting your insight into the team. Thank you so much, and we'd love to have you on again sometime.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Marissa Silvis of NBC 26 in Green Bay joining us here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Glad to have her join us. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
All right, so I got a bunch of thoughts here today, some on more recent things that have, kind of happened or transpired since the preseason game. Then I'll work my way back to the preseason game and give my thoughts for what I saw there, because pretty much the first time I've had the opportunity to talk about it since last Friday's game. But all right, so Jeff Janis out for at least a week, according to head coach Mike McCarthy during his press conference on Sunday. But I think, you know, if anybody out there is waiting to see Jeff Janis come back after just 1 week, that might be a little bit too quickly, I think. I think we're going to see Jeff Janis miss, you know, like Marissa said, probably 4 to 6 weeks, something like that. Maybe at the best here, you know, we're going to see him, you know, in time for the third preseason game. There's almost no chance at all he's going to play this weekend here or this Thursday. You know, the good news is, I suppose, that it's almost a whole month for him to recover in time for the regular season opener. But you do have to wonder if Jeff Janis might get the Packers IR designation this year. He would seem to be the leading candidate. And yeah, I suppose the best news is that the Packers have time to wait and decide here. You know, they don't have to really make any decisions on the future of Jeff Janis, you know, until really the cut down to 53. So I expect it to pretty much come down to the end. You know, the Packers are going to see if anybody else gets injured, obviously knock on wood and hope they don't. But yeah, unfortunate situation for Jeff Janis, who, you know, hasn't had a great start to training camp, or at least the start many people would hope. That being said, he is very valuable on special teams, you know, both as a returner and a gunner on punts. You know, he almost played at a Pro Bowl level in terms of what he offers on special teams alone. Yeah, you know, I guess we just wait and see here with Jeff Janis. It's unfortunate. And this decision may come down to, you know, the 53-man roster cut-down date. So stay tuned. Also, on Sunday, the Packers signed offensive lineman Kyle Stuck, a native of Wisconsin, specifically DePere. He went to West DePere High School, which, you know, DePere borders Green Bay if you're from outside the area. So really right next door, and played his college football at Northern Michigan, which is up in the Upper Peninsula. So not really all that far away from Green Bay, Wisconsin. So local kid, which is, you know, just the interesting connection there. But, you know, more than that, the signing of Stuck made sense given the injury situation on the Packers offensive line, you know, especially after it was learned Matt Rotherham has a biceps injury suffered during the first preseason game. He reportedly had his arm in a sling and didn't yet know if it was torn or not, but you know, that's not good news for Rotherham, regardless, in terms of his chances of making the 53-man roster. I think it's going to be tough for him to make it. It could be another situation where, one, he's either on injured reserve for the season, or two, it's back to the practice squad after he gets healthy enough. You know, I suppose I will reevaluate in a few weeks before the 53-man cuts happen again. In case he makes some sort of remarkable recovery, but not good news for Rotherham for the time bitten. And the Packers really in general seem snake-bitten at the center position this training camp. You know, Corey Linsley remains on the PUP list. Rookie Jacob Flores missed the first preseason game with injury. I don't know if it's anything serious, but it was enough to miss at least one game. Thank goodness J.C. Tretter came back after missing a few practices. So he hasn't been, you know, fully 100%, but at least he's back. So, you know, the signing of Kyle Stuck, I think, is nice in terms of that he's versatile. He played all five positions on the offensive line at Northern Michigan. Apparently, the Packers see him as an interior guy, and probably that's where they'll start him off, at center and perhaps guard. But it's at least nice to know he's played tackle in college, and in a pinch could potentially perhaps do it if the Packers really need him to. And who knows, with the way the injury situation is going, maybe they'll need him to play every place on the offensive line. So yeah, that happened on Sunday, and the Packers placed long snapper Jesse Schmidt on injured reserve to make room for Stuck. Jesse Schmidt, he was the guy who broke his hand after just one snap in his first practice. So unfortunate situation there, but obviously this roster move made sense, seeing as, you know, the Packers weren't going to hold on to an injured long snapper for long, especially considering they already have one on the roster. So to make room for an offensive lineman, the move made sense. On Sunday, so on the practice field, Brett Hundley returned on Sunday, which is a good indication he'll be able to play in the next preseason game. Hundley had missed more than a week of practice with an ankle injury, so he's back now. And while that happened, meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers, as Marissa Silvas told us, he worked with the scout team, making you think he might not play for the second straight week. And I can't blame the Packers if they do that. I really don't see much use in playing Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't need the work. As long as he plays in that third preseason game, that's basically all they need. So I would anticipate this weekend or this Thursday, Hundley getting a lion's share of the work, and then Joe Callahan and maybe Marquise Williams mopping up in the second half. That's the way I see it playing out. So those are some of the items from Packers training camp. Former Packers tight end Andrew Corliss, I just saw it this morning before the show started on social media. He signed with the Detroit Lions despite facing a 2-game suspension occurred when he was a member of the Packers. If you'll remember, he fired a gun outside a Miami nightclub last offseason. And that probably soured the Packers on a potential return, knowing that he would be suspended. But he will remain within the division, so the Packers could see Corliss again as an opponent if he makes it out of training camp and on the Lions' regular season roster. So this is basically a tryout for him. I heard they didn't give him any guaranteed money whatsoever. So there's a former Packer and a Super Bowl winner getting a choice with a chance with another team, within the division. All right. So that's basically wraps up the news portion. I just have some thoughts here. I'll try to give a brief thought on each position from the first preseason game. Like I said, kind of my first opportunity here since the game to throw some thoughts out from that first game against the Cleveland Browns. Maybe I'll start with the tight ends just because I thought they were the story of the game. I thought they stole the show. First of all, Jared Cook, it was just good, you know, from the standpoint that he started the year on the PUP list and yet he still played in the team's first preseason game. And it looks like the first two series of the game, Joe Callahan, the only guy he could find was Jared Cook. And it kind of didn't really bode well for the whole Packers offense in that they had the first few series couldn't really get the passing game going. But Cook was the one guy who looked good. They made some plays, designed some rollouts to get him the football, and that was encouraging. I thought maybe the guy who had the best game overall was Justin Perillo, who led the team in receptions and receiving yards. And, you know, the thing that stands out to him are his hands. He seems to have a really great pair of hands. He's not the biggest tight end ever. He's not the fastest tight end ever, although he's very fluid. I'll give Justin Perillo that, very fluid. And he runs well, at least compared to the other Packers tight ends. And, you know, he just is so reliable with those hands. Seeing him for 3 years now, I don't know if I've ever seen him drop a pass, at least in a game environment. I've not sat there for every practice he's ever had, but I really think he's setting himself up for a spot on the roster as the Packers' third tight end. At this point, I don't know how you could cut him, just given the way, you know, he's in his third year, things like that. And Kennard Backman as well. Just that one catch he made. They did a quick hitter that set up the Packers' only touchdown of the game. Backman didn't score, but he set it up. It was like by the time he got like inside the 10-yard line. And I thought that play was fantastic. I thought it was the best play he's made in a Packers uniform since coming in last year. So it was just nice to see him take that step forward. He's still got a long way to go, but that was a really nice play and just really encouraging from Kennard Backman. So yeah, all the tight ends just doing really good. And so they were the story. But to go through the rest of the positions, the quarterbacks, I thought they were encouraging. Joe Callahan, he got better as the game progressed. The first series or two was meh. And then, of course, his highlight was the two-minute drill. And you know, he really just gave what the defense, you know, gave him. He doesn't have the strongest arm in the world. I think Joe Callahan is a number three quarterback in the NFL. Kind of maybe that might be a ceiling. But I think he could be a good number three quarterback if given time to develop. And I say that just because I'm not sure if the arm strength is there. Sometimes it looks like he aims a little bit more than he throws. But, you know, if he can just continue to progress and really become a master of the Packers offense, he could be that kind of guy where, you know, you, if necessary, you wouldn't feel bad about him entering a game as a third string quarterback. That could be a ceiling. Maybe it's a little premature for me at this point to be saying that so early in his professional career. But, you know, as far as first games go, debuts go, encouraging from Callahan. And Marquise Williams, I like that he's not shy at all. He was out there, and like the very first pass he threw was a bomb downfield. It was incomplete. I think he tried to connect with Trevor Davis, if I'm correct, on a really long pass down the right sideline. But it was just nice to see him. He wasn't afraid to push the ball downfield. He didn't connect on a whole lot of them. He connected on a few. He's fast. He's really fast. He's got the best wheels I've seen on a Packers quarterback in some time. I know they had Vince Young in camp last year, but Marquise Williams, just as far as the scrambling ability goes, that was really nice to see. So, like I said, as far as first games go, they did great, you know, and hopefully they just continue to progress from here. Running backs, I thought Eddie Lacy was the most impressive player, but I really thought every running back really did well. I was surprised. I didn't know much about Brandon Burks coming into the game. I thought he did well. I thought John Crockett did fine. He, of course, scored the only touchdown of the game on a short little pass. Starks, the stats weren't impressive, but I don't think the offensive line did him a favor on a couple occasions there. And even Ross, the rookie out of Maryland, looked fine. So, but I thought Eddie Lacy was the best out of all of them, just kind of showing to be, I think, you know, everybody wanted to see Eddie Lacy come on strong after all the attention he got late last season and early during the off season. And he was just, you know, looked like the Eddie Lacy we've seen. Good Eddie Lacy, you know, he did the same thing he did in the preseason as we've seen him do before his first 2 years in the NFL. So good to see him have a good, you know, start to this year's preseason. Wide receivers, Jared Aberderis, I thought, was maybe the most notable player at the position, that he got a good long look between both offense and special teams. And the Packers need to get a good evaluation on him because they need to decide whether he's worth carrying on the roster. And it certainly helps that, you know, Jordy Nelson's out, Jeff Janis is out. It's just kind of creating open spots at wide receiver, even though he certainly doesn't have the size of either of those guys. While Jared Aberderis didn't look like a Pro Bowler by any means on Friday, he did a nice, solid job. Like I said, in both phases of the game, The best moment was the one kick return he had, in which he broke a few tackles, made a few guys missed, and get a nice gain there, and made a few receptions and did fine. So I thought he was the most notable player at the position. A lot of other guys like Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb. Well, Randall Cobb didn't play at all. Devontae Adams only played a handful of snaps. So some guys you didn't see a whole lot of that game. Offensive line, Jason Spriggs, I thought, held up well in his first game. Really good as a pass blocker. He showed he'll have to get a little stronger at the point of attack. I know there was that one point there in which he got pushed back a little. But even that, I'm trying to think, one situation that kind of came to mind. That kind of seemed like negative to me for Jason Spriggs making his debut, playing pretty much exclusively at left tackle for the Packers. As far as first games go, again, very encouraging. The backup offensive line saw a lot of playing time. Basically, the starters were in there and they played, what, one or two series and they were out, and pretty much the second string offensive line went the whole way. And there was only five of them because Matt Rotherham got hurt. So it was like the same five guys played the whole game. We mentioned it before. Packers a little thin on the offensive line. It's good that they signed somebody, and hopefully they get a few of these guys back, like Jacob Flores and Josh James, who missed, that's certainly discouraging. Rookies who are missing playing time, they need to be out there playing. This is their, one of their one and only opportunities they might get. So, those guys got to get healthy and get out there. So hopefully they're back out there soon. Defensive side of the football, defensive line, my thoughts there, need to see more consistency from everyone on that unit. And I'm really not talking about, Mike Daniels and Latroy Guyon, but everybody else. Christian Ringo flashed with that safety he had. Kenny Clark flashed on a nice tackle for a short gain, a solo tackle that he made. But that was about it. I mean, these guys flashed for a play. But other than that was all I saw of the defensive line. Didn't really see anything from Dean Lowry. Didn't really see anything special from Brian Price or Tyler Cooter. They did okay, but I mean, it was just, just nothing too impressive so far. And again, first game, probably too early to draw any conclusions yet. I mean, just from the standpoint, it was good to see Kenny Clark, the first rounder, out there and getting reps and getting experience, especially, I suppose, after missing a good portion of the offseason program. Maybe that's all we should expect, the first preseason game from him, and just hopefully he gets better from here on out. But yeah, the whole unit needs to be a little bit more consistent there. The outside linebackers, Dayton Jones, I thought was maybe the best defensive player on the field. And really, that's great for him because, he out there was a first-round draft pick playing with the backups. And that doesn't happen to a lot of first-round draft picks in preseason football. Julius Peppers didn't play at all. Neither did Clay Matthews. So the Packers, the elite players on the team, they didn't even play. And even guys like Jayrone Elliott, he didn't see a whole lot of time. They got him out of there early. So Dayton Jones, I thought, saw quite a few snaps and looked good getting some pressure on the quarterback. Some of the plays, he was more chasing after a few seconds, but still, the hustle was there. And so I thought it was, good for Dayton Jones to be out there and trying his hardest in what has to be a tough situation just mentally, knowing that he's a first-round draft choice and probably thinking he deserves to be out there on the field, when the first stringers are out there, but still giving it his all. I give him credit for doing so. And, like I said, hopefully keep seeing more from him, as I say, from every player. Inside linebacker, my thoughts there, that I thought I saw a big improvement from Carl Bradford and Joe Thomas. These guys look like finally in their third year in the system, that things are starting to click for them and they're starting to look like they know what they're doing out there and they're reliable. Because, for Carl Bradford is basically his first 2 years in Green Bay. That first year was almost wasted with how much time they spent with him at outside linebacker. And then last year didn't really see much of him in the preseason or anything special from him. Finally, he looked comfortable out there making tackles and making some, good thumping tackles out there. And Joe Thomas, I thought he looked aggressive out there for a guy who's known as, kind of the dime coverage linebacker. I thought he had a nice big stick there in run support. So good to see, those guys, even though they're not going to be maybe starters on the Packers defense, if they got to be out there on the field, these might be some guys you can rely on. And I think a big part of it is, yeah, they're in their third year now. And maybe it's good that the Packers took the time to develop and invest in these guys and develop them. And it could be paying off. I think obviously everybody's eyes were on Blake Martinez. I know he missed one tackle, and apart from that, he looked okay. Well, I'll just continue to see how he does as time goes on. But I thought the biggest improvement, Carl Bradford and Joe Thomas. Secondary, of course, there was the beautiful interception from Micah Hyde. That's probably the play of the game, the best looking play by anybody out there. The kind of the diving INT, that was fantastic. So congratulations to Micah Hyde. Hopefully he keeps that up as Morgan Burnett sat out. So big moment for him. But the rookie Kentrell Bryce was also impressive. I just thought, he was always at the right spot at the right time. And that's a good thing. And I think a lot of it has to do with the speed. And you saw that. I know Bob McGinn wrote a column about it. But, this is something we've talked about on this show dating back to the after the NFL draft and reaction to him, how his workout numbers were so impressive, running like a 4.440 and having a huge vertical leap. That really translated to the football field with Kentrell Bryce. And I think, it's going to be tough for him to make the roster with basically, the four safeties almost etched in stone, between Clinton Dix, Burnett, Hyde, and Banjo. But I'll say this for Bryce, he's probably an injury away from making the roster at the safety position. And at the very least, maybe setting himself up for the practice squad if nothing else. So nice to see him that. And then on special teams, Peter Mortel, how about this? I was soured on Peter Mortel after family night because I thought he looked pretty poor during family night. And I was like, the Packers are going to cut him. And he bounced back really nicely in the first preseason game. And maybe part of it was just getting those jitters out of the way. I thought he looked better than Tim Mastay did. I think he put three punts inside the 20. He had a nice big boomer out there. So that was all great for Peter Mortel, showing there's a legitimate punting competition here. And I'm really excited to see what he does in the future. And, of course, I asked Marissa Silvis about Mason Crosby. He's just Mason Crosby being Mason Crosby ever since 2012. 254-yarders. That was fantastic. So there you go. There's your thoughts on the Packers' first preseason game. A couple brief thoughts on every position, and we'll wrap it up with this.
The day ahead.
The Packers practice at 11:45 a.m. on Monday, which is the last practice open to the public in advance of Thursday's preseason game against the Oakland Raiders. So the Packers will practice Monday, open to the public, Ray Nitschke Field, so feel free to soak it in, take it into practice if you're a fan out there and want to see the Packers for free in action. Because they do not practice at all on Tuesday. It's just a day of rest after coming off a game, this past week on Friday and in advance of another game less than a week away on a Thursday. So they get a day off on Tuesday. And then Wednesday's practice will be held behind closed doors, which is, typical protocol for the day before a game for the Green Bay Packers. That day before a game is practice is always held behind closed doors. So don't expect to go to training camp and see practice that day, even though they will practice, not open to the public that day. So that's what's on tap, the next few days for the Green Bay Packers here on the practice field. And we'll see him again shortly on Thursday. So that'll do it pretty much for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you so much for joining us. Already got our guests lined up for Wednesday. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com getting ready to join us for another season. So excited to get his analysis for the first time this season on Wednesday. And I think this will be the sixth consecutive year in which Nathan Yonke joins us on a weekly basis. So excited for that. So we'll see you then, folks. Thank you to Marissa Silvis for being our guest on today's show. Nice to have her join us. And shows every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, which is the live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action is always, as usual, if you've not done so already, the one small thing we ask, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It helps get word out about the show. It's free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could do us a solid, go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up and give us that 5-star rating and a brief little review. Doesn't have to be anything long. We'd greatly appreciate it. And that does it, folks. Have a good Monday. Have a good rest of the week. We'll see you again on Wednesday. On behalf of everybody here at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Kirvu. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called New Country Blues by the Emmett Nershey Band on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack. Go.